And one of the books that I read was Greg Arday's War Party, How the ANC's Political Killings Are Breaking South Africa. And Greg has been reporting on violence and politics in KwaZulu-Natal for close to three decades. He joins us now on the line from that part of the world. Greg, good afternoon.
Hi, John. Thank you for having me on your show.
It's a huge pleasure. I mean, it's depressing. You know, it's yet another example of the degree of misrule to which we are being subjected, and the way in which the ANC has kind of stopped being a political party with a cogent political philosophy of betterment of the lives of most South Africans, and it has become, as you say, a war party, particularly in KwaZulu-Natal.
Yeah, it's very worrying. It's worrying that it's worrying to the degree to which they've just forsaken their responsibility on the altar of greed, really.
Sorry, I was expecting you to continue. I didn't realize it would be such a short answer. I mean, there are a lot of examples of the sort of general thesis in the book, which is that the policy of deployment, basically the only way that many South Africans can make any kind of material or status advancement is to become a member of the ANC and to become a member of one of the governing structures in South Africa: city council, provincial government, national government. And there is enormous contestation around that, because if you want to get to the trough, you have to elbow a lot of other people out of the way who also want to get to the trough. And in KwaZulu-Natal particularly, although there's some reporting today about similar trends in Mpumalanga, in KwaZulu-Natal particularly, that is associated with violence.
Yeah, John, everything is about the party. In the first chapter of the book, I talk about what happened in Richmond, and it's staggering, really, how the story of one little town can be representative of just how bad it is. You know, people just have to get over the tragedy that plays out over years, and it's really, if ever a town was typical of the violence in KZN, it would be Richmond. But in order to survive, people just accept that the omnipresence of the ANC, that's just so absolutely, you know, the party and state is so enmeshed, it's just everything. And in order to survive, you basically just have to accept that and carry on, in spite of the, you know, extreme trauma and heartache and brutality that many in the party have been responsible for.
Greg, there are a lot of examples in the book, examples of stories that you yourself personally covered in great detail and with great thoroughness, and there are other stories which have been covered by other media as well. Is there one that particularly stands out for you as an example of the thesis which underlies War Party?
Well, they're all quite haunting, John, but the one murder, well, yes, there was a 13-year-old schoolgirl, her name was Elizabeth Nhleko, and she was in her class at school along with others, and the hitman comes in to kill the teacher, who also happened to be the speaker of the Newton municipality, and Elizabeth Nhleko gets shot dead, and one of her peers is injured. And obviously the teacher, Wusumusi Ntembele, who was shining, he was asking difficult questions about security contracts in the town. He gets killed. And at the funeral, it's hijacked by politicians. And one of Ntembele's family members talks about the indignity of having to witness this sort of like state funeral with all these heavies and a gun salute to his brother. And it was completely the antithesis of everything his brother stood for. But this part, you know, the party is, as I said, so omnipresent, so desperate to put a stamp on absolutely everything. They take over the funeral. So it's Yeah, I found that the story about Elizabeth Nkleka particularly haunting. This child at a class at school, you know, and all of her peers, you'll have to live with that trauma. It just talks to the bigger story, I suppose.
One of the chapters, chapter 21, starts, as we have seen, violence and conflict over corruption and access to patronage are increasingly coming to define the character of the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal. This contest frequently takes place at the level of the ANC branches, with fierce conflicts erupting over membership and leadership. And, I mean, that is still happening. ANC conferences at the beginning of this year around eThekwini and who takes over, and the way Zandile Gumede, the not quite disgraced enough eThekwini mayor. So, I mean, it's not a trend which shows any signs of abating or of being controlled.
Not at all. John, I mean, in the last 2 months, eight people with political association have been killed in KZN. And ANC members, you know, talk worryingly about the warm-up for 2021. And it's quite ghastly. The frustrating thing is that while politicians might do a whole lot of hand-wringing in public about how they want violence to stop, it doesn't seem to stop.
Yeah, it's how Jacob Zuma got into power. It's how Jacob Zuma was kept in power. It's how Jacob Zuma was insulated from any kind of accountability. So it's not... Yes, it's probably at its height in KwaZulu-Natal, and there are probably areas of KwaZulu-Natal where it is worse than others, but it is a trend which one can look at and spot examples of across the country.
Yeah, and people are understandably outraged about it. The few people that are, you know, the story, people are becoming more aware of the story, and they rightfully ask, well, what can I do? Well, you know, faced up against these bullies, it might seem like it's an insurmountable task, but accountability, you mentioned the word accountability, just not about accountability, and it's about holding every public representative accountable to their mandate and to issues around public spending. Because if you trace all of this violence down to its core, it's a tussle over access to the spoils. And, you know, the more we know about where government money is being spent, the closer we'll get to finding out who's pulling the trigger in KZN anyway.
And you do also give, and I think it's very necessary to give attention to those in the ANC who don't like the direction that the party is taking. And it's not to say that everybody in the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal is corrupt, but I think it's probably fair to say that many of those who are not corrupt don't speak out about the corruption they see around them, because for very understandable reasons, they are scared. Because what happens to whistleblowers, it's another running theme throughout the book, is that they are subjected to violence. And yet you still have these people who say, this is not the ANC that I joined. This is not the ANC that I learnt about at my father's knee. And I'm going to continue to struggle to return the ANC to that ANC that I believe can still exist. You know, the likes of Thabani Nyawose and others.
It's really heartwarming to think about those people and their courage, John, because it's contrast against the greed and corruption that seems rampant. But there are a few brave souls, and the harshest critics, I think, of the ANC are within the ANC. But they just seem to be their voices. You know, the few that have the courage to go public, they live in fear of their lives. But which is not to say that they've been silenced, and that's the most, you know, that gives us a toehold, and that gives democracy a toehold as we climb the wall, you know.
Greg, there's so many books written at the moment, and newspaper columns and you know, stuff on the internet and so on, which are very, very critical of the ANC. And the ANC tends to try and deflect that criticism. And, you know, it's written by agents of white monopoly capital, anti-transformation forces, and so on and so on. But the kind of book that you've written and the kind of stories you tell about people, and you don't directly accuse them of anything. You assemble what evidence there is and put it onto the pages of the book. Is it a dangerous book to write?
I'd be lying if I didn't say that I didn't feel nervous at times, and there were some hairy moments. But I genuinely do think the forces of good are out there. So, you know, every time you get intimidated or somebody attempts to intimidate you, there's many good people keep on feeding you information and are trying to see that the right thing is done. And I've had the most heartwarming response from people who are just anxious for accountability and anxious to change the culture, what is called the culture of blood in the ANC.
Greg Arday, thanks very much for talking to us and for writing War Party, How the ANC's Political Killings Are Breaking South Africa. Jacques Po says about it, this book is so good, so important, and so relevant that it left me speechless.